Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
I'm struggling now. There we go. And you know, that kind of thing happened to me a lot back when I first started working on airplanes. I would be struggling with something and someone more experienced could come along and make it look easy. I'm thinking especially of these panels that we would have to take off. The tendency was for the screws to get stuck in them. And as a brand new airplane mechanic, a brand new crew chief, the thing to do is you just stick your speed handle in there and you'd be taking screws out, and then you'd come to one stubborn screw and you'd just keep turning and turning and turning. And you'd, until you rounded out the top of the screw, and nobody could get it out. And you'd have to, someone would have to come along with a drill and drill it through it and knock it out, and it became a whole big ordeal, a big problem. So you didn't want to strip out the top of screws. But a lot of times, you'd be there, and you'd be struggling with one, and you knew by now not to strip it out. And you'd be trying to figure out just how to get the angle, just how to jostle it, and you'd be, you know, totally on the struggle bus with it. You didn't know what to do. And then here would come a more experienced crew chief and kind of bump you out of the way and go, and you'd get it out, hand you the screw, walk away. And you'd go, oh, man, that's frustrating. Maybe that's kind of how the disciples felt when they were spending all this time trying to heal this young boy, and then here comes Jesus, and he makes it look easy. Maybe that's something like what we're looking at in our text today. It comes out of Luke chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 37 through 45. Luke chapter 9, verses 37 through 45. And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word today? Hear the word of the Lord. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him and is destroying him. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here. While the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, "Listen carefully to what I am about to say to you. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand what this meant. It was hidden from them, so they did not grasp it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word to us today. I pray that it will minister to our hearts, that it will teach us your ways, and that it will draw us closer to you. And Lord, I pray today that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be found pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. You may be seated. Well, as we heard last week, as Pastor Amanda taught us last week, Peter, James, and John had just been at the top of the mountain with Jesus. And just imagine what an amazing experience that would have been. These three, this inner circle of Jesus, had ascended to the mountain. And in the previous chapter, he said, some of you will not see death before you see the glory of God. Well, this is them seeing the glory of God. They go up on the mountain. Moses and Elijah appear. You just can't imagine what that must have meant to these disciples, these figures from the faith that must have been heroes to them, suddenly appear. They appear and they talk with Jesus. Jesus is transfigured before their eyes. His clothes become as white as lightning. His face is all aglow with the glory of God. They're surrounded by this cloud. They're surrounded by the glory of God. That must have been amazing. In fact, we know it was so amazing that Peter said, let's just stay up here. This is great. We'll build shelters and we'll just live up here at the top of the mountain. An amazing experience for them. But then we know that the next day, when they came down from the mountain, they were immediately greeted by human need. With a boy who is desperate for spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. With a father pleading for his son, with the nine disciples whose attempts to help him were proving terribly ineffective. They have had an awesome experience, and now they're confronted by the brokenness of the world. That's often the way it is when we come down from the mountain. It reminds me of Moses on Sinai. Moses was up on the mountain with the Lord. Again, the glory of the Lord was present. The people were told, don't go near the mountain or you'll die. You know, the cloud descended on the mountain and there was thunder and there was lightning and the glory of God was present. And Moses was up there and communing with God as God was giving the law, writing it with his own hand on tablets of stone. It must have been a glorious, fearful, but glorious experience for him. But this glory is interrupted by the sound of something going on in the camp. And as Moses comes down the mountain, what does he find? There's an idol has been constructed. They're like, this Moses guy, he's been gone for too long. We need another God to lead us. Y'all give me your gold, and I'll make an idol for you. In other words, when Moses comes down the mountain, what is he confronted with? Human brokenness. A lack of faith, this inability that we seem to have to remember God's faithfulness and goodness. He comes down the mountain and he's confronted with human need. Some of you have just recently had a mountaintop experience. Some of you just got back from NYC a couple weeks ago, right? Where you had the best speakers the Church of the Nazarene had to offer. You heard from Shauna Songer Gaines. I watched her sermon on holiness on the internet. It was great. You had For King and Country was there, right? The Newsboys were there. You even got to see that kid from Nebraska rap to Jesus Freak, right? And you did out and you get service projects, and I'm sure it was a great experience. I know it was. And then you have to come home. And what happens when you come home? Well, you're not on the mountaintop anymore. And I imagine that in each one of you in your own way were confronted by human need. In fact, the organizers, I think, knew and anticipated this. They knew that you can't stay on the mountaintop, but you still need to stay connected to God, which is why they gave them these devotionals to do, this devotional book to do when they got home, right? You can't stay on the mountain, but you can stay connected with the Lord. In fact, we must stay connected with God because He is the source. He is the one who enables us to minister to human need as we should. You know, only 24% of the Earth's land mass is mountainous. And of course, even less of that are mountain tops. So you see, both mountain tops and mountaintop experiences are rare. They're nice places to visit, but you can't really live there. And like the four who are descending the mountain in the text today, it is almost certain that when we descend the mountain of spiritual thrills and fulfillment, as we always must do, we too will immediately be confronted by the world's brokenness. Whenever we leave a conference or a gospel concert or a worship service or an especially blessed quiet time with the Lord, we re-enter a world that really needs us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in it. So our goal shouldn't be to hang on to that wonderful mountaintop feeling, but rather to leverage the strength and the faith that we gained on the mountaintop so that we can minister in the valley. Because Jesus calls us to minister to others, to bring healing where there is brokenness, to stand up against evil and sin in the world, and to preach the redeeming love of God in Jesus Christ. But sometimes the problems we face, the problems of sin and brokenness and injustice, of spiritual darkness in the world, those problems can seem quite intractable to us. It can seem like we can't have any effect or make any headway against them. And that can be frustrating. Just ask Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, the other James, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the good one, and the other Judas, the bad one. I'm sure they don't appreciate being labeled that way, but they were trying as hard as they could to cast this evil spirit out of this poor kid, a spirit that was causing a frightening and life-threatening condition for this boy. His father was begging these nine disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't do it. Can you imagine their frustration? The whole scene must have been a scene of frustration. This man, in desperation, brings his son to these disciples who had made their way two by two through the cities of Galilee, healing people already. They have had some experience doing that. The word about Jesus had spread. So this man is thinking this is his best chance. This is his best hope of getting his son, who is desperately sick and possessed by an evil spirit, to get him healed. And the disciples probably thought that they could do it too. But they couldn't. They were probably praying over him. No way, that's not the way Jesus did it. Jesus usually said this, or Jesus would do that. Try this, let's try that. Let's all gather around him and lay hands on him. Let's try it one at a time. Jesus spit and put mud in a person's eye. Maybe if we try that, it'll work. They were probably trying everything that they can think of, everything they ever saw Jesus do, everything they ever heard Jesus say when he cast out an evil spirit. They were probably trying all of those things, but nothing seemed to work. And then come Jesus, Peter, James, and John down the mountain. And when Jesus sees this, he seems a little frustrated too. I think that his frustration was with the fallenness of this world, a world where there is sickness and injustice and evil spirits. as well as evil systems. I think it was that reality that caused Jesus to say, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you and put up with you?" I think he was also a little disappointed that the disciples did not yet have the faith necessary to deliver this boy from the evil that possessed him. But when Jesus shows up, he gets the job done. And I'm sure he made it look easy. So there's a happy ending here. Everyone marvels at the greatness of God. This young boy is healed and returned to his father, and everyone gives praise to God and marvels at the greatness of God. But we need to ask ourselves, why was it that the disciples failed in the first place? In Luke, there's no explanation. But in Matthew, their failure is attributed to a lack of faith. And Mark says much the same thing, but adds that this kind only come out by prayer. And in some manuscripts, the words "and fasting" are added there. You see, it's not that the resources were not available for the disciples to deliver this boy. It's that they were not being used. A power saw was available, but they were still using a handsaw to get the job done. We do that sometimes, don't we? We continue to use the wrong tool for the job. We don't use all the resources that are available to us. Perhaps that's why our seemingly intractable spiritual problems won't budge. Because we're working out of our own paltry resources when all of the resources of heaven are available to us through prayer and faith in Jesus Christ. It's easy to forget to use the tools that we have available when we're being faced with evil, because evil's intimidating. Just think of how disorienting a child with an evil spirit must have been, seizing and foaming at the mouth. It's the kind of thing you see it, you kind of freeze at first, and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle it. But we need to remember that evil and sin are no match for the power of God. We need to remember that we are not helpless in the face of evil when we rely on God's power. The theologian Darrell Brock writes, "With all of the resources available in Christ, there is no reason for sin to prevail, for humanness to lead to failure, nor for demonic forces to remain in control." Sometimes I think that we are afraid to confront evil because it either seems too scary or too massive or because the stakes are too high and we fear failure. But our God has promised to be with us whenever we decide to roll up our sleeves and get to work facing up to evil and healing the brokenness in the world. Now, as this incident concludes, Jesus shares with his disciples that in order to achieve the will of the Father and complete the purpose for which he came, they will have to descend emotionally even further into the valley of death. You see, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, where he will secure for all time God's victory over all the forces of evil. A victory that by faith we can walk in. In other words, through Christ's victory, we have all the spiritual resources we need to do all that God has called us to do. Isn't that a powerful truth? Because Christ went to the cross, because he suffered and died, because he rose from the dead, defeating death and sin and all the powers of hell. By faith, we walk in that and share in that with Jesus. And we have access to those resources that we might have the power to do all that God has called us to do. So let me ask you, who are you in this story? Who are we in this story? Are we the boy? Trapped and under the control of something that is destroying you? Is that where you're at? Possessed by some evil that wants to tear you apart? Oh, it might not be an evil spirit, but maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a besetting sin that you can't seem to get rid of, but this thing is within you and it seeks to defeat you and tear you apart. The answer to that is faith in Jesus. Or maybe you're like the Father today. Someone you love is trapped, caught in sin, dealing with something that threatens to destroy them. The answer to that is faith in Jesus. Lift it up to the Lord in prayer. Continue steadfastly to pray for the loved one who's in that position. Or are we the nine? Church, are we the nine who stayed at the foot of the mountain, struggling to do the job with our own spiritual resources, our own worthless resources? Are we trying to solve spiritual problems with human solutions? Are we saying, well, we got a program for that? We keep on doing things the way that we've always done them, and then we wonder why things don't change. We need to tap into the resources that God has made available to us. And so the answer for us is also faith in Jesus. Or maybe we're not the nine, maybe we're the three. Maybe we're so pumped up from a mountaintop experience that we hesitate to re-engage in the world for the sake of the kingdom. And the answer to that is also faith in Jesus. Because it is He who calls us to be His hands and feet in the world. So, whatever your need is today, put your faith in Jesus. Work in the power of His power through faith and prayer and maybe fasting. Tap in to those abundant resources. And whatever thing that is that you're struggling with today, when He gets rid of it for you, when He deals with it, maybe He'll make it look easy compared to the struggle that you've been putting up. So I'd invite you to come this morning. If one of these, one of the people, one of the characters, one of the groups in this story sounds like you, if you're struggling with something that's got a hold of you and seeking to tear you apart, or maybe that's described someone you love, I'd ask you to come to an altar of prayer today and just lift that up to the Lord. Hand it over to Him in faith and prayer. The altars are open. And you're welcome to come and pray however the Lord might lead you today. Just please stand as we sing.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.